We continue with this edition of A Closer Look, and our number toll-free, if you're outside the 303-720 area code, you can call us at 877-424-4111. That's 877-424-4111. If you're calling from inside the 720 or 303 area code, you can contact us at 303-423-0188. That's 303-423-0188. Now, coming up just momentarily, I'll have Noreen Gosh with me. Again, she's the author of Why Johnny Can't Come Home. She's been on the program before telling her story. Her son Johnny was kidnapped when he was 12 years old out of Des Moines, Iowa, while delivering newspapers. And this case has become a watershed case for a couple of reasons. One, it demonstrates or illustrated, has illustrated over the years as the investigation that Noreen conducted demonstrates, that there were some very organized pedophile networks that were out there kidnapping children, and they were forcing them into sexual slavery. The other thing that it has shown and demonstrated is that this problem goes in different directions as far as the involvement of certain possibly rogue elements of our government, i.e. the CIA and other agencies that may serve or stand to benefit from the political compromise of not only political figures, but also influential business people internationally. Because, you kind of say, well, why would they want children? Well, it's a sick world out there. And children bring a very high price in this sexual slavery market. And Noreen's case has demonstrated this very well. Now, what we're going to do this morning is she's going to come on the program and talk about an attack that has been launched against her. It could lead into serious litigation and may even threaten her ability to continue getting this message out and trying to find out what happened to her son. Therefore, it's a pleasure to welcome to the program this morning Noreen Gosh. Good morning, Noreen, and thank you for being with me.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Not a problem. I'll tell you, this is really kind of developing into a very interesting scenario. I guess you could call it a scenario. But, I know you've met Phil Kronzer, and Phil's been a guest on my show many times, and he himself has spent a lot of his own money trying to get to the bottom of the force or the forces that were involved in destroying his family. He has been subjected to many, many litigious activities or actions on the part of people that are trying to stop him from getting the word out. And I understand now that you are starting to experience kind of a similar kind of situation. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. At the time that I wrote my book, Why Johnny Can't Come Home, there was a man that kept calling me constantly. His name was John Zielinski. And he had written some books on the Amish, and most of them were books that contained photographs with stories about Amish life.
Okay.
And he did a nice job on them. But he kept calling me, asking me if I had started my book yet, which I had. I began writing my book clear back in 1983. And what I would do is write it in chronological form in journals so that later when I put the book into, book style, then all I had to do was just refer to my journals for an ongoing events of what took place. So this man asked me if I was going to include information about MK Ultra and the mind control program, which we know these children were subjected to.
Right.
And I said yes, that I was. And he said, well, I have some books on it that I own that are written by other people. And he said, I'd like to contribute something to the book. Because I would do some research for you. And so I said to him, well, what do you want for this?
Right.
And he said, I don't want any payment. All I would like is just my expenses covered when I would be in Des Moines working on it. So that was the agreement. He refused to sign anything that would be in writing. I lived up to my promise to pay his expenses, and he took a small furnished apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid for the rent on that for a couple of months, which was all he was here in Des Moines, and provided all the food gas money, anything he needed. I, on the other hand, also had all the expenses required and involved with producing the book.
Right.
The printing, which was $10,000, and on and on and on. So his contribution were, I would say, some paragraphs in a couple of the chapters that pertain to this MK Ultra and some of the technical things, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
After the book was printed, he showed up at my home approximately 3 months or 4 months later after the book came back from the printer.
Okay.
And they had been delivered. And he said that he had been talking to his son, who was a law student somewhere in the country. And his son said, oh, you should have had a written agreement. Why didn't you? Well, we didn't because he wouldn't sign one. We tried. My husband and I tried mm-hmm. getting to sign one. And his son said, well, you should have this many $1,000s for your work. And he stood in my living room and presented me with a bill for $18,000.
For $18,000?
$18,000.
Okay.
And I said, and wanted me to sign something. And I said, no. I said, that is not the agreement. And I said, you stated this before five other witnesses.
Right.
That this is what you wanted was your expenses covered, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I also gave him cases of books that he could sell for retail also.
Okay.
And so he got angry because I wouldn't sign whatever his son had drafted up for him. Mind you, his son was not an attorney. Yet.
Yeah.
And he went on his way. Never heard from him again.
Now, Noreen, real quick, how long ago was this confrontation?
About 3 years ago.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I didn't hear from him for 3 years, and then all of a sudden, a few months ago, I was served with papers for a lawsuit in which he was demanding not only the $18,000, but he had tacked on, I think, interest on it. So now we were up to $24,000
mm-hmm.
that he wanted from me.
Yeah.
And we had to go through the deposition process. And when we went through the depositions, my attorney said, where is this man coming from? He has absolutely no proof for any of his allegations.
Right.
You've got the witnesses. You've got the documentation. I provided all the information about where my book started and when. And he sat, and it became almost comical, because he sat during the depositions and told the attorneys that the idea for writing a book about Johnny Gosch was his idea.
Really?
And I said, no, the idea for writing a book about my son that was kidnapped was my idea. And I began writing that book a decade and a half before I ever heard of you.
Right.
Well, he still wants to lay claim. And unfortunately, in this United States, anybody can sue anybody, and then the person who is being sued is forced to get attorneys, lay out money to defend yourself
right.
for something you didn't do.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden, we were given a court date last week. We only had 4 days to prepare.
Okay.
And I simply told my attorney, well, that can't happen because we don't have enough time to get the witnesses here. Some of them are out of town.
Yeah.
And so the judge then said that we could have a postponement. But in the meantime, and here comes the kicker.
Okay.
In the meantime, we are contacted by this man's son, who is now a full-fledged attorney.
Okay.
In Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And they said that they would be willing to drop the suit in exchange for all the remaining inventory of the Why Johnny Can't Come Home and full reprinting rights.
So essentially you just got to give over all of your rights.
Basically give up my story about my son.
Yeah.
And I was so upset and so appalled when the attorney called. I just said to him, I said, well, that's out of the question. I said, this is a story about my son and my life that encompassed the search for him.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about this man. And he said, the attorney, which floored me, my own attorney said, well, it's a heck of a good deal. You should take it. And I said, a good deal for whom?
Yeah, really.
The other side. And then after talking to Phil Kronzer in depth, he's been very, very kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
After talking to him in depth, he said, Noreen, you're living right in the center of where it happened.
Yeah.
And anybody can be bought. He said, do you think it's possible that someone put this man up to this to put you out of business? You see, for years, 20 years, I worked a full-time job and two part-time jobs
mm-hmm.
in order to keep the search for Johnny going,
yeah.
pay my living expenses, and keep the foundation going.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I wrote the book, I was able to drop one of the jobs, so I only work two now instead of three.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales of the books were enough every month to meet the expenses for the Johnny Gosch Foundation.
Right.
And we've done a lot of good work. We've helped a lot of people throughout the country who've had missing children and sexually abused children.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do feel that this is an attempt to completely annihilate everything that Johnny's kidnapping stood for
mm-hmm.
and the Johnny Gosch Foundation in one swoop.
Yeah, it's basically a measure to silence you.
I really think so. I didn't think so at first when the lawsuit first was put upon me, but then when they came back and wanted the entire inventory of books.
And future rights. Which essentially would bar you from ever making any kind of commentary or publishing anything at all regarding that regarding your son.
That's right.
Yeah. That's unacceptable. And I would have to ask this guy, and I'd like you to provide me off air with his phone number, because I'd like to put him on the air and ask him what kind of a creep he is that he would take this kind of action against someone like yourself who has done such a tremendous amount of good and has not profited at all from this. Matter of fact, your family has been devastated by it,
mm-hmm.
And you're deprived of your son, and it kind of does amaze me. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes
and,
me that somebody
know,
like this
few
would...
Few people realize what catastrophic financial
yeah.
burden a missing child can be. You don't have insurance for anything like this. There's nothing to offset the expenses.
Yeah.
And when the police drag their feet, such as they did here, the only way to proceed was private investigation.
Sure. And
so
I mean,
it still is today.
Right.
And I had to move out of my house, and I just live in a real small little apartment now.
Yeah.
And the fact that this man would come after me and do this type of thing is just beyond me. But now that he's asking for these other things, now I know what it's about.
Yeah. Noreen, hold that thought. We're going to take this break. When we come back, we will continue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Noreen Gosch is my guest. Again, she's the author of Why Johnny Can't Come Home. And even more, she is the mother of a 12-year-old boy that was kidnapped, forced into sexual slavery. The story is quite incredible. We're going to touch on elements of that. We're also going to look at some peripheral kinds of things that have occurred around Noreen over the last few months and try to frame up why somebody might want to be coming after her at this late stage in the game. I mean, I have to agree with her. There's something very strange here. Our number toll-free, 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111, if you're outside the 303 or 720 area code. Inside the 303 or 720 area code, call us on 303-423-0188. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back after the break.
Thanks for listening to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin. One of the realities of doing a radio talk show like A Closer Look is the cost of producing the show. The equipment maintenance, the research, production staff, the regular ongoing bills, and of course, the recently increased security for Michael himself. They're all expensive, and they're taking their toll. If you're a regular listener or a new listener to A Closer Look, we need your help. Please consider making a contribution to help keep A Closer Look air with the hard-hitting, non-politically correct exposés on America's struggles. To make a contribution to help with the show, go to the website www.4aclosterlook.com. Go to the donate button on the top of the homepage. You can use your MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card to make a contribution there. Or you can send a check or money order to Philomax, Filomax, P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. Please understand your contributions are not tax deductible, but they are appreciated. Thanks again for listening to A Closer Look.
You're sitting there listening to the radio, all alone. If you feel the need to discuss what you hear, log on to our Yahoo group chat area. Do it by accessing the Closer Look Web Center at www.4aclosterlook.com. That's the number 4aclosterlook.com. Once there, click on the Yahoo logo and sign up. Now you can talk to like-minded listeners during the show.
No dancing bears or inanimate objects here to tug at your heart. It's just the facts. And more of them are coming your way. Don't even think about changing that dial. We'll be right back with more of A Closer Look.
When you need to advertise your nonprofit community event, let us help get the word out. Fax information about the event and a contact number to 303-355-6593. That's 303-355-6593. Or email philomax@philomax.net. That's philomax@philomax.net. Thanks for listening.
We continue. Our number toll-free outside of 303 or 720 area code is 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. If you're calling from inside the 303 or 720 area code, you can call us at 303-423-0188. Noreen Gosch is my guest. Welcome back, Noreen.
Thank you very much.
You know, I can't tell you how appalled I am. And, of course, in some ways I'm not surprised because, you know, I've experienced some strange things. I know Phil Kronzer has. And anybody that has attempted to expose the nefarious activities of some of these, you know, these characters comes under assassination attacks. So when I say assassination, political assassination, character assassination, and economic assassination.
You're right. So at a certain point, yeah, each one of us get it.
Yeah, and the thing is that, as you said before, this would be the last blow for them to try and take away everything that you have, the only thing you have left of your son.
It is, yeah. And this one is just heartbreaking. It is. I have lost sleep over this one.
Well, I really am sorry. I really am. And I can't imagine what motivates some people like that. Because, again, you know, I'm sure, you know, him coming around you and experiencing your company would immediately transmit to him, you know, the agony that you still feel over all of this.
Well, you see, when he first approached me, that was the way he approached me, was that, you know, he understood what I'd been through, and he wanted to just help get the truth out about Johnny's story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for most people that met him, they thought he had some sincerity. And, you know, we worked on the book and, you know, got it done, and he was only in Des Moines, like I said, a few months, but I had been working on that book for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't write a whole book until you know some of the things that are going to happen, and they haven't happened yet. So
yeah.
1999 and the year 2000 was when it was put into book form.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of times when we were doing the book that on a few of the days that we were together working, that he would say to me he wanted it done such and such a way. And I would have to remind him that it's my story, my son, and my book. And he got a little adamant a couple times, and I told him, if you don't like that, then you may leave, and I'll finish this myself. Because he was used to writing storybooks. Okay? This was not a storybook. This was a factual accounting. And this book had to be written more chronologically, so that somebody that had never heard of this story before, but then learned about the book, maybe such as a listener on the program,
yeah,
could pick it up and read it from the beginning and follow what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was right about the way I wanted to do it. That doesn't mean I'm a great literary author of any kind, by any means, but I knew how I wanted it done.
Right, it's your
and
book.
I even designed the cover and all of that. I did all the photograph work, everything.
It's your book.
Exactly.
You're the boss.
And yet, during the depositions, he sat there and said, I did everything on the book. I did everything. She did nothing. I even wrote all the personal chapters about her life. I have never heard anybody lie like that in my life. Never.
What,
you know, it was just, I was just bowled over. I was just wrenched out after the deposition, which took 7 hours. Unbelievable.
What do you know about this guy? I mean, what can you tell us about him? What can you share with us on the
air? Well, what
about
I found out after the fact was that there is a man in Illinois where they worked on a video project together where they were creating DVDs, and it was all about Amish life across America.
Right.
And they had a written agreement. One was going to do the photography work, and the other was going to do the technical work with all of the equipment. And so the other fellow bought all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
After the fact, after the project was done, this guy, John Zielinski, apparently made off with about $8,000 worth of the DVDs and equipment and left the other guy holding the bag.
Ah.
And that is one of the men who contacted me after he heard about my deal. And he has offered to testify in court for me, and he also made available the copy of the contract he had with this John Zielinski. So apparently he's used to doing this.
Mm,
and then I learned later that he also filed a lawsuit against Sutherland Printing, which is an Iowa-based printing company, some years back. I don't know what it was over, except that it had something to do with the rights to a book. He lost in court. And he was given, he was supposed to pay Sutherland $25,000, but he defaulted and never paid.
Mm-hmm.
And during that court hearing, that trial that he lost in, he was also banned from ever publishing anything in the state of Iowa again. He would have to use his ISBN numbers in some other state, but he could never publish in Iowa under his own name.
So it appears that this man has a pattern.
Well, and so what is a pattern? And that's what my attorney said to him during the deposition. He said it's quite apparent that you pursued Noreen Gosh unmercifully and kept offering to share some of this material. And it wasn't original material. It was stuff that was written about MK Ultra going back to its inception, what it was used for, and just technical things about it that's available in most books.
Yeah.
But he said he would glean that out of it, type it up, put it on a disc, and bring it to me. But then he did something. He asked me if I would put all the chapters on a disc. And I said, what for? He said, well, it would be better to have the contents of your book in a couple of different places for safekeeping. He said there might be people that wouldn't want your book to come out.
Okay.
And I put some of the chapters on a disc for him, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And see, he's claiming now that he wrote the whole book. So I think what he did was loaded that onto his computer so there would be a record of the date that it went on his computer.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what he's going after, because I can prove, you know, I have all the journals and everything and the exact verbiage that came out of my chapters that I wrote years and years ago.
You can establish easily, it sounds like, that you...
And I also think, too, that if they really thought they had a leg to stand on in court, they wouldn't have made the offer to settle out of court.
Yeah, very good.
They called my attorney. But it clearly is an attempt to put the Johnny Gosch Foundation out of business and to round up all the copies of the Johnny Gosch book, Why Can't Johnny Come Home?
Yeah.
And so that they would be under the control of one person.
Yeah. Noreen, hold that thought. We got to take this break. When we come back, we'll continue, okay? Noreen Gosch is my guest. Again, our number, 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. 4111. That's outside the 303-720 area code. We'll be right back after the break. We'll be right back. continue with this edition of A Closer Look. Our number toll-free outside the 303-720 area code is 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. If you're inside 303-720, call us on 303-423-0188. That's 303-423-0188. Again, returning is my guest, Noreen Gosh, and what a tragic story this is. We've got this, what's his name again, Justin Zielinski?
John Zielinski.
Mm-hmm. Who steps up a few years back offering to help you write this book about Johnny's story and about why Johnny can't come home, and refuses to sign an agreement, and now is now all of a sudden demanding the rights to the book, the future rights, and all of your inventory. And as you've mentioned, I mean, this has far-reaching implications for, being able to essentially silence not only you, Noreen, but the foundation. And your foundation has done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You've been pretty active in the missing children scene, getting legislation and banging the drum for more protection for innocent children. It's amazing to me that this guy would even want to even dream of trying to come at you and take advantage of you, unless there is something else going on here, which I think is a good suspicion. Given the fact that you have been probably the leader internationally for demonstrating the incredible linkages to a very, very highly organized, well-funded pedophile network that takes children and enslaves them to satisfy and service not only politicians, but affluent business people for political influence. I this is just absolutely beyond my ability to grasp this guy's mentality.
That is exactly where I have been emotionally with this also. It has just thrown me to think that somebody would do this, mm-hmm. unless, of course, it is a ploy to just put me out of business coming from a bigger power. Mm-hmm. Then I could understand this.
Okay.
As for one person doing this and inflicting this upon another, just on a one-to-one, I can't imagine why he would want to do this.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
When he's got, I think he authored something like 10 or 12 books on the Amish.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got all these books of his own, why does he need mine?
Yeah.
See, why does he want my inventory? And that's what really rocked me when the attorneys told me. I said, I can't believe this, that he would even try this.
Yeah.
And, like I told Phil, I said, I cannot let this happen. I have worked too hard. It'll be 23 years this fall that Johnny was kidnapped. And in that time, I have gotten state and federal legislation done. I testified before the Justice Department, Senate hearings. I have helped get the National Center for Missing Children
mm-hmm.
started.
Yeah.
I was one of the pioneer parents. And what you see today coming out in the news about human trafficking
yeah.
and all of these subjects now, I was talking about that 20 years ago because we happened to get information through our private investigators
mm-hmm.
that this is what happened to Johnny. And back then when I was doing programs and I was on the national speaking circuit,
yeah.
people didn't want to hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in some circles, they practically threw rocks at me and said I was nuts because I would say that this was going on in our country.
Yeah.
Well, now it's come out. They know what it has. They know what's going on. And there's been rumblings, and as you mentioned, they thought that Jeff Gannon in Washington, D.C. might be Johnny, and there's been some other things that have happened on the case, so perhaps somebody's getting nervous, and they think, well, we'd better round up her book and get it out of circulation. That's what they do to people that have a book a lot of times that is carrying truth.
Mm-hmm.
They find a way to get it off the shelves.
Well, Kronzer, as I said, Kronzer's been a frequent guest on the program detailing his investigation into a religious cult,
mm-hmm.
which has kind of grown legs and tentacles like an octopus that has gone into some very strange international, high-ranking, high-level political circles. And, you begin to realize that, hey, I think a lot of this stuff touches upon the real essence or the core of what's wrong, not only in this country, but what's wrong in the world and where this world is going. And, again, I think that, when it comes to, like, radio, when it comes to television, when it comes to print, when it comes to people like you and Kronzer and, you know, others, I think, you know, this is the tactic that they use, because they know that if they can wipe you out financially,
mm-hmm.
Then they don't have to worry. You just kind of like go away. But
just,
no, go ahead.
No, go ahead with what you're going
to
say.
But I was just going to say that, you know, what I'd like to do, and go ahead and make your statement that you were going to make, but what I'd like to do after you do that is let's take a look at some of the things that have happened around you, and mostly of late, that I find very, very interesting.
Okay.
Do you want to make a statement or a
comment?
The
one thing I was going to mention,
yeah.
This very same thing happened to a woman named Linda Blood. She
I know
was
who she is. You betcha.
What?
I said, I know who she is.
Yeah.
You're right.
She was a close friend, intimate friend of Michael Aquino's. And she came out with a little expose book and wrote about their relationship
mm-hmm.
and Michael Aquino. Well, he sued her. And I think her book was published by Time Life.
Yeah, it was.
And she was sued by Michael Aquino. And then he contacted her, or the attorneys did, and said, if you agree to pull all your books off the shelf and we take over the inventory, we'll drop the charges.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to her, and they put her out of business.
And, you know, I'll tell you what.
And she told me that herself.
That book is called The New Satanist, and you would be
mm-hmm.
hard-pressed. This is
yep.
this is, demonstrates how effective this can be. You would be hard-pressed. Anybody would be hard-pressed to try and find a copy of that book. And that book was a seminal work. It was a very, very important work because it exposed the inner machinations of Aquino's world.
Yes, it did.
And, of course, that dovetails with you.
And that was a direct connection to all this that's happened where I live.
Yeah. And, again, that's a very important element that may be attendant to some of the stuff that's going on now. Now, I interviewed you and Jim Rothstein about, I think it was a year ago,
mm-hmm.
approximately a year ago. When you folks had appeared on Marty Stacey's program in Omaha. Marty was fired a couple of days later, and you found a blow-up doll on your porch.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that, and then what I want to do is I want to move into this thing that happened at the beginning of this year with the Jeff Gannon thing.
Okay. When Marty Stacey interviewed me, it was maybe the fifth interview over a period of 5 years. He would interview me for an update of Johnny's story every year.
Yeah.
The only thing that was different about this particular one, Jim Rothstein, I had become acquainted with, so he was on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim and I decided ahead of time to release some new information that we had received that had not ever been out before. So we did that. A couple of days later, Marty Stacey was fired. And the very same day he was fired, I heard a noise outside my door.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go out right away, because I wasn't quite ready to go to work. And when I opened up my door to go, there was a life-size, anatomically correct, blow-up sex doll
mm-hmm.
with a hole blown in the head.
A bullet hole.
Well, it looked like it had been blown apart, the head.
Yeah, okay.
And the hair on this doll was dark like mine.
Okay.
And it really rattled me because of what had just happened. So
mm-hmm.
I called the police to come over to make a report on it. They came, and the first thing that the detective said to me was, what has happened on Johnny's case recently?
Yeah.
He knew to ask that because any time there's been a rumbling or new information, something happens. It's like a little disguised threat to keep quiet or something, you know, that you could read into that. So I told him that the only thing I had done was a radio program, and we had released some information that we felt was safe to release, but it was time to do it.
Right.
And that was the only thing different about that interview. And then I also told the police that Marty Stacey was fired over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that happened to me. Well, nothing. I did lay low for about a week. I didn't go anywhere that I didn't have to go. And definitely not at night or anything, because I was just, because whoever did this came and was standing on the other side of my door.
Okay.
That's close enough,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And then after that happened, things got fairly quiet again. And then shortly after the first of the year, I started receiving phone calls from bloggers. And they were all asking me the same question, is Jeff Gannon your son? And I didn't know who Jeff Gannon was. I hadn't seen any of the TV coverage. of when he was outed at the White House. He was a reporter, blog reporter, and it was discovered that he was getting into the White House using another name, and that Jeff Gannon was a pseudonym or a name that he picked,
mm-hmm.
and that he, in fact, was leading pretty much a double life, in which he was a gay prostitute and had websites of himself with a lot of nude pictures and things like that circulating around the Internet.
Right.
So then there was a great deal of controversy over him and what happened to him in Washington. But then on the other side, was he Johnny Gosch? And I had asked through Jim Rothstein, we sent two men to Jeff Gannon's home to ask him if he would do a DNA test.
Right.
And he slammed the door on the people.
Mm-hmm.
Then, following that, I sent Jeff three separate emails, again, asking for a DNA test.
Yeah.
And he didn't answer any of those. And then finally, we were asked to be guests on the Bo Dietl show, which was short-lived, and I think it only had two episodes, and then they shut the show down.
I was curious, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on that show, the first show, Jeff Gannon was not on there. It was Jim Rothstein, myself, and another blogger, Andy Stevenson. And we talked about the whole situation. Then they did another show in which Jeff Gannon was the guest. And on that show, he said, yes, he would take a DNA test. Well, then after the show, Jeff Gannon refused to take the DNA test.
Mm-hmm.
Then he emailed me later, after we were both contacted by the National Enquirer.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Enquirer wanted to do a big story, but they wanted the story to include the DNA test. So they got back to me, and they said that Jeff Gannon suggested that we contact Dr. Phil and go on the Dr. Phil show and have them do the DNA test and then read it on the air live for all America to hear at the same time I heard it.
Yeah.
And I wrote back to Jeff Gannon and said, no, I'm not going to make it a circus. I said, we did it with dignity. We sent men quietly to your home to visit with you about a DNA test to be done privately. I wrote to you and said we would do it discreetly. And now you want to go on television and do a big
circus.
Rah-rah.
Yeah, big circus.
So I said no. Then after that, a Waterloo, Iowa TV station had done a series on Johnny's story.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the series, they went to Washington, D.C. to interview Jeff. During the interview, Dave Roberts, who is the reporter, said to Jeff Gannon, how can you possibly deny this woman the knowledge of whether you are or are not her son?
Good question.
He said, how can you do this to her? He said, you look so much like Johnny. You have so many of the features, the family features. Of course many people think you're her son.
Mm-hmm.
And all this time, all I had ever said was, I don't know.
Yeah.
He does look like he could be, but a DNA test is all that would tell. So at that point, Jeff Gannon told the reporter, yes, I'll take the DNA. The reporter called me and told me what the conditions were. And here they are, that I would pay for the DNA, which I intended to anyway.
Yeah.
And then when the report came back, only Jeff Gannon and I would be allowed to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would have to be destroyed, so no one would ever read it again.
Okay.
And I agreed to all of that. And once again, for the fourth time,
he declined.
Jeff Gannon refused.
Now, wasn't in all of that carrying on, did not Warren Buffett step up to the plate and offer to do the DNA test? Who was it?
It was through Bo Dietl, who did the show,
yeah.
The TV show. He was a good friend of Warren Buffett's, and there was some kind of an arrangement that was going to be made that Bo Dietl, he said live on the air, that he said, well, Jeff, he said, we'll get a little DNA from you, then we'll go to Iowa, and we'll get Noreen's, and I'll do this test myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Warren Buffett that was backing him.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because mm-hmm. Warren Buffett figures into this story with the Omaha Franklin cover-up deal, too, as well.
Well, his name has been mentioned by quite a few, and I think
yeah.
it may have been mentioned even in the Franklin cover-up.
It was. It was. DeCamp, it was in there.
Right.
Hey,
so you see, all this has happened.
All right, well, Noreen, hold that thought right there. Okay. We're going to take this break. Can I hold you over a little bit into the next hour?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, because the next one is a short segment, but mm-hmm. I got some other things I want to cover because I think this kind of lays the groundwork for why you're being targeted this way. Okay?
Okay.
So we'll come back to this. Noreen Gosh is my guest. Our number, again, toll-free, outside of 303-720 area code, is 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. Inside the 303-720 area code, 303-423-0188. Again, Noreen Gosh is my guest. We're going to get to the bottom of this one way or another, and we're going to find out what Mr. Zielinski is all about. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back after the break.
New World Order, Global Economy, Sanctuary for Illegal Aliens, National ID Cards. These are all things that we've been warned about for years. Today, it's reality. We must rise up and get the information we need to fight off these intrusions to the security of America as we know it. It's not revolutionary, it's American. It's what every responsible citizen should do to protect our freedoms. For practical, uncensored, non-politically correct information, tune in to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin, daily from 10 to 1, right here on this station.
You're sitting there listening to the radio, all alone. If you feel the need to discuss what you hear, log on to our Yahoo group chat area. Do it by accessing the Closer Look Web Center at www.4aclosterlook.com. That's the number 4, aclosterlook.com. Once there, click on the Yahoo logo and sign up. Now you can talk to like-minded listeners during the show.
When you need to advertise your nonprofit community event, let us help get the word out. Fax information about the event and a contact number to 303-355-6593. That's 303-355-6593. Or email philomax@philomax.net. That's philomax@philomax.net. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin. One of the realities of doing a radio talk show like A Closer Look is the cost of producing the show. The equipment maintenance, the research, production staff, the regular ongoing bills, and of course, the recently increased security for Michael himself. They're all expensive, and they're taking their toll. If you're a regular listener or a new listener to A Closer Look, we need your help. Please consider making a contribution to help keep A Closer Look on the air with the hard-hitting, non-politically correct exposés on America's struggles. To make a contribution to help with the show, go to the website www.4aclosterlook.com. Go to the donate button on the top of the homepage. You can use your MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card to make a contribution there. Or you can send a check or money order to Philomax, F-I-L-O-M-A-X, P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. Please understand your contributions are not tax deductible, but they are appreciated. Thanks again for listening to A Closer Look.
Masters of Persuasion by David Gayatz is an electronic book that the discerning researcher into the New World Order must read. Power, politics, money laundering, Nazis, mind control, murder, and religious cults are just a few of the topics covered in this riveting e-book. The book also touches on the scourge of Satanism and pedophilia in the U.S. military. Gayatz reminds us that things are not as they seem as he rips through the shrouds of secrecy to reveal the real masters of persuasion, the CIA, the occult practitioners in the power elite, and members of secret societies. Masters of Persuasion by David Gayatz is an electronic book available for the exclusive price of $10 through our website at www.4aclosterlook.com. Again, that's Masters of Persuasion available now for $10 at www.4aclosterlook.com. We'll be right back. We continue with my guest, Noreen Gosch. And again, Noreen's going to hold over to the next hour so we can continue. We've got this short segment here. Noreen, going back to this Jeff Gannon story again, when we were talking about Warren Buffett and things like that, you know, it's really interesting that so many things have occurred around this. You know, I want to touch on all the other little oddities of this whole thing, because not only did we have this rumor surface that Jeff Gannon, a.k.a. J.D. Guckert, may in fact be Johnny Gosch, the interesting thing is that there was also two other strange things that occurred, and that was shortly after the revelation that surfaced in January about reporter Jeff Gannon, Hunter S. Thompson commits suicide. Now, I had Rusty Nelson on the program. For the folks who do not know who Rusty Nelson is, Rusty was the photographer for Larry King and was involved in the Omaha, Nebraska Franklin cover-up scandal. And, you know, Rusty talked quite a bit about, you know, the different elements of this. Hunter Thompson is also a name that comes up in DeCamp's book, The Franklin Cover-Up. And he commits suicide under what I understand were some very strange circumstances. And despite the official ruling of suicide, some people are maintaining that it was actually murder. Hunter Thompson supposedly or allegedly participated in the ritual murder of a young boy who, what was his name, Paul Bonacci, accompanied to Bohemian Grove in California during the late 80s when all this stuff was really in play. That was one incident. Then the second thing was the arrest of Paul Bishop. Is that his right name, Paul Bishop?
That's correct.
Yeah, and tell us real quick who Paul Bishop is.
Paul Bishop was a young man in his 20s at the time Johnny was kidnapped, came to Des Moines, Iowa, investigating the case, and they had credentials to show that he was with the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And they investigated and worked here for, probably 6 to 8 months, and then they were pulled off the case. And I did not hear from Paul or see him, no contact, until after the Jeff Gannon thing came out in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard from Paul, and we're still in contact now. But all these events that you just described all happened within days of each other.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Hunter, Jeff Gannon came out with this whole thing about the White House and whether he was Johnny or not, and I think Hunter Thompson died within 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, they arrested Rusty Nelson. And it was just like, you know, one thing after another there for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody's trying to overtake my book. And we are currently working on some new information that at this point is not ready for publication because we've got a lot more loose ends to
tie
up here.
Yeah.
But there has been some new information. And in the same time frame, one of the witnesses that were there the morning of Johnny's kidnapping
mm-hmm.
finally came out and told the truth. That was about a month ago.
Okay.
He was in his bedroom and heard the noise out on the street. And the story that was told to the press years ago was that he just heard the car door slam and saw the car pull away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened. This young boy who was 16 looked out his bedroom window when he heard some noise, and he saw a man shoot Johnny with what he said was like a stun gun.
Really?
And Johnny went down to the ground, and then that man and somebody that was already in the car in the back seat helped to lift Johnny into the car, and then they drove away.
Okay.
Well, the person in the back seat was Paul Bonacci.
Okay, Noreen, hold that thought right there. We got to go to the news. And when we come back, we'll continue, okay?
Yes.
All right. Noreen Gosch is my guest. Our number, 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111, inside 303-720 area code. Call us at 303-423-0188. We take the news break. Noreen will be with me coming back from the other side. We will be right back after the news. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We continue with this edition of A Closer Look. Joining me is Noreen Gosch, and she is the author of Why Johnny Can't Come Home. She's the mother of Johnny Gosch, who was kidnapped at 12 years old while he was delivering papers in Des Moines, Iowa. And this case has become, you know, like I said, the watershed case that kind of basically gives people a glimpse at the inner machinations of a very organized, very well-funded network that involves itself in the kidnapping and exploitation of innocent children. And, you know, subsequently, the destruction of families. And Noreen has been the leader, I should say, in bringing the attention, the national awareness, international awareness to this problem. And she wrote a book called Why Johnny Can't Come Home, and a fellow named John Zielinski has come into her life and offered to help her publish the book. Now he is hot on her to sue her to get control of the remaining inventory of those books, also any kind of future rights, which essentially would silence Noreen from being able to speak out on the subject and you know, the thing that happened to her. Welcome back, Noreen. Again, thank you for being with me.
Thank you very much.
Did you want to make a comment real quick?
I would just like to tell people that they can also go to my website, which is www.johnnygosh.com. And there's a lot of information there, and there's also the first chapter of the book on the website, so they can read that. And then if they desire to order one, they can. But the first chapter gives them an idea of how this whole thing began.
Okay.
Johnny's kidnapping.
Okay, very good. Now, going back to, we were looking at some of these strange things that have occurred around you, you know, that have happened recently. And we were talking about Paul Bishop and his arrest. Now, it's interesting that Paul Bishop was arrested I think it was Virginia, wasn't it?
It was Fairfax.
And he was arrested for manufacturing
Child pornography.
Mm-hmm. Can you share any conversations that you've had with him about any of this stuff, or is that all confidential?
Well, I can share some. He basically told us that this operation was being run and flourished, the one that involved Johnny's case anyway, out of Omaha, Nebraska. Very definitely confirmed that. And we knew that already, but it was nice to hear it again. From somebody who had investigated it from an agency such as the CIA. He also gave us information concerning certain parties, names of people that were involved.
Right.
And they concurred with what we had gotten from Rusty, Paul Benassi. So it was just further confirmation, again, that we were on the right track. But with Paul's arrest and communication with me, some other things that have come up recently concerning the Omaha situation and Rusty's statements that he's made coming out with the truth, and Jeff Gannon, I believe that there are people that are getting nervous, and it's like when you see a little hole spring in a dike holding back water.
Right.
They have to plug it up or the whole thing will go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are people that are trying to do that. And plugging this up, one of the things that they would attempt to do would be to silence me.
Yeah.
And I haven't been doing as many speeches on the road as I once did because I've been doing more radio programs from home.
Right.
But the only other thing that's out there that would be my mouthpiece is the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is why all of this combined that's happening is bringing about what's taking place in this attack against me now.
Yeah. Did Paul Bishop share with you any, like, reasons, whys, you know, for the existence of a project like this, or who was involved in it?
Yes, he did. He said that at the time that they developed this whole mind control program and that they started to use it on kids, they decided to experiment, and there was a specific number of children that were taken and used for this project.
Mm-hmm.
And the number that they started with was right around, I think, 1,500 kids. Johnny was one of them. And they did what they did, turning these kids into young Manchurian candidates, for lack of a better term, meaning that they would program in at different levels of brainwave frequency the things that they wanted the children to do. And there's an entire list of what can be programmed into the brainwave frequency at alpha, beta, theta, all the way down to omega frequencies, even to the point that they can program in a suicide, be like a post-hypnotic suggestion, only deeper.
Yeah.
and that there were that number of kids that were taken, and they weren't all taken in 1 year. This project spanned about 8 or 9 years worth. And so the kids that were taken and put into it were programmed. They are now young adults. Some have been killed because of various reasons.
Yeah.
Snuff films and or they got out of line, wouldn't do what they were told, and they were annihilated. Other kids were used to the point where they were no longer of use to the organization. And then they were just turned out. They were just let go.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question I had was, were any of these kids educated? What did they do if the kids got sick?
Yeah.
And I was told by Bishop that most, definitely, many of the kids were educated. And if they got sick, this organization had their own doctors and dentists and people that would care for these children.
Yeah.
And the reason that for the education and putting somewhat of a polish on these kids, and they were, in many cases, wore the best clothing and everything,
mm-hmm.
is because they were servicing wealthy pedophiles.
For political influence, right?
Influential pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted a young person that they could feel safe with, that they were not exposed to too many other things before they got them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was explained very simply that that was the whole ideal of that entire program.
Yeah.
To see if they could.
Mm-hmm.
Was
it a CIA-funded program, or was it funded elsewhere by other people?
He said that it was technology that was developed through our government, and then it was more or less taken over and used in that capacity by what they would consider a rogue, somebody acting on their own away from an agency or away from the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And I did file a Freedom of Information request with the CIA for any and all files on Johnny's case.
Yeah.
And I received a letter back saying that there's no information, no files exist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. I was very definitely told by Paul Bishop there's a huge file on Johnny.
Yeah.
And yet they wrote back a letter to me saying that nothing exists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, that Freedom of Information Act, it's just lovely. But
yeah, it doesn't work.
You try requesting something.
Uh-huh.
When I was doing my book, I requested a copy of one of Michael Aquino's papers that he wrote. And it was the whole subject that he wrote about this mind control program.
Right.
And it was called From PsyOps to Mind War.
Mm-hmm.
So I filled out all the paperwork for the Freedom of Information request. Well, I didn't get the report, but instead I got a letter from the National Security Agency telling me that it would breach national security and that they could not give me that report.
Really?
Really.
Interesting.
And then about a week after I got that letter, I got a phone call from Linda Blood. And Linda said, I understand that you tried to get a copy of Michael's report that he wrote and that the National Security Agency refused you. And I said, well, that's true, but how would you know that?
Good question.
See, she was a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she had the knowledge. She had the information. So you see, this is all very linked up. And, you know, sometimes people oversimplify it where I live. Johnny was a little boy taken off the street. Oh, nasty, nasty pedophile, and that's the end of it.
Right.
This is so much bigger. People do not realize what jeopardy this has put Johnny in, definitely, but also my life for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a balancing act most of the time. You don't want to do or say anything that's going to cause someone else to get hurt, and yet you have to move ahead with the case too.
Right, right.
And it's a very fine line. And I'm just wondering, you know, if I'm able to retain my inventory of books by refusing this offer and everything, assuming that they don't, in the middle of the night, pull a robbery or something,
mm-hmm.
Then if I'm able to retain my books and the rights to them, then what's next? If this fails, what's next?
Yeah. Well,
there'll be something.
I know Philip Kronzer told me personally that he is going to help you in any way that he can.
I know. And he's a very kind man, and I, like I said, I've only met him recently.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about him, but he was just so kind. He says, I will help you on this. Mm-hmm. He said, this is big, what they're doing to you.
It is. It definitely is.
And it's, to be real honest with you and the listeners, it's more than I can fight alone this time.
Well, yeah. Because
it really is. It's.
This is the big move
mm-hmm.
to take away the foundation and silence you.
Yeah.
Noreen, going back to the Marty Stacey day about a year ago, what do you think the tripwire was?
The tripwire was this statement, two statements actually, one by me and one by
Jim. Okay.
And Jim and I had a chance to visit about a week ago, and we were sitting there talking, trying to figure out what it was. And the information that we released that day, we had learned from a very reliable source in Des Moines that the police chief here in West Des Moines was a good friend of Robert Wadman's, the police chief of Omaha, and our police chief was going over there to those sex parties they were having with the young children.
In Omaha.
In Omaha.
Yeah.
And that is why the police chief here listed my son as a runaway and wouldn't look for him. He was hoping that it would die down. He never, ever thought I would get on Good Morning America and all these shows and turn this case into a national case.
Do you think
he thought they could squash it down.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that he had foreknowledge that Johnny was going to be kidnapped?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So he was.
I definitely
he
do.
Was definitely cooperating
uh-huh.
with this.
It was all a setup, and then when the call was put in by me for the police to come the morning he was kidnapped, they took nearly an hour to come to my house, and we only live 10 blocks from the department.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you look back on it and you know what you know and you've got proof of it, then it's pretty easy to see what happens. Now, the second statement that I think got Marty fired, Marty said in one of his questions, do you think this activity is over with in Omaha, or do you think they're still doing it?
Yeah.
And Jim took that question, and he said, well, I believe they're still doing it. I don't think they ever stopped. They might have just rearranged how they're doing it because of such exposure on the Gosh case.
Yeah.
But he said, I guarantee you they're still operative. Well, after those two statements, in addition to Marty being fired and me getting the doll, the man who told me the information about the police chief was dead 48 hours later.
Really?
Yes.
Noreen, hold that thought. We got to take this break. When we come back, we'll get some wrap-up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Noreen Gosh is my guest. We'll be right back after the break.
New World Order, Global Economy, Sanctuary for Illegal Aliens, National ID Cards. These are all things that we've been warned about for years. Today, it's reality. We must rise up and get the information we need to fight off these intrusions to the security of America as we know it. It's not revolutionary, it's American. It's what every responsible citizen should do to protect our freedoms. For practical, uncensored, non-politically correct information, tune in to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin, daily from 10 to 1, right here on this station.
You're sitting there listening to the radio, all alone. If you feel the need to discuss what you hear, log on to our Yahoo group chat area. Do it by accessing the Closer Look Web Center at www.4aclosterlook.com. That's the number 4, aclosterlook.com. Once there, click on the Yahoo logo and sign up. Now you can talk to like-minded listeners during the show.
When you need to advertise your nonprofit community event, let us help get the word out. Fax information about the event and a contact number to 303-355-6593. That's 303-355-6593. Or email philomax@philomax.net. That's philomax@philomax.net. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin. One of the realities of doing a radio talk show like A Closer Look is the cost of producing the show. The equipment maintenance, the research, production staff, the regular ongoing bills, and of course, the recently increased security for Michael himself. They're all expensive, and they're taking their toll. If you're a regular listener or a new listener to A Closer Look, we need your help. Please consider making a contribution to help keep A Closer Look on the air with the hard-hitting, non-politically correct exposés on America's struggles. To make a contribution to help with the show, go to the website www.4aclosterlook.com. Go to the donate button on the top of the homepage. You can use your MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card to make a contribution there. Or you can send a check or money order to Philomax, F-I-L-O-M-A-X, P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. Please understand your contributions are not tax deductible, but they are appreciated. Thanks again for listening to A Closer Look.
(877) 424-4111 is our number, 877-424-4111. That's toll-free outside the 303 or 720 area code. If you're calling from the 303 or 720 area code, call us at 303-423-0188. That's 303-423-0188. And the second half of the show today, we're going to be doing open lines. Got a couple of news items I want to cover. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. Noreen Gosh is my guest. www.johnnygosh, and it's JohnnyGosch, johnnygosch.com. As Noreen said, you can check out her website. The book is available there. You can read a sample chapter. And, of course, she's got other news items and things like that she keeps on the website. And I'm assuming, Noreen, that you're using the website to keep people updated on things that are going on. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. And it works very well. I get a lot of visitors to my site every month. And so I know that people are going on and reading the information. And I even have some of the radio programs, some of the ones I've been on with you,
mm-hmm.
and some various ones that people can click into and go to archives and listen to them.
Where are we at right now with things? I mean, where are we at with the Jeff Gannon thing and other things right now? Are things kind of quiet?
Well, with the Jeff Gannon thing, he's still of the position that he's refusing to do the DNA. And since this lawsuit kind of overtook my life, I've just put that on hold for the time being.
Yeah.
Because this was a bigger issue and needed to be addressed right away. And that has been taking a lot of my energy as well as the new information that has surfaced. We have had some people come forward recently, and I touched upon it before we went to break about the witness, the eyewitness.
Right.
He is now a grown man, and he said that at the time that he made the statement, the police chief had told him, do not tell anyone else that you actually saw Johnny shot and thrown into the car, because the statement the police were making was this. No one actually saw Johnny being thrown into a car. All we have is a boy that heard a car door slam and saw a car pull away.
Right.
That gave the police chief deniability,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to then list Johnny as a runaway.
Yeah.
If this young boy would have been able to come out with the truth back then, it would have all been out. Johnny was a victim of foul play. He was shot right on the spot with a stun gun, thrown into a car, and they drove him away.
And they,
but that information took almost 23 years to come out.
And they positively identified Paul Benassi in the back seat. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah,
and then Paul Benassi confessed to that as well.
Mm-hmm, and that's significant.
Mm-hmm,
because
it is.
There is the link right there to the Omaha scandal.
And I think the only reason that this young man felt safe in coming forward with it now is because the police chief died. About a year and a half ago.
And you said the person that told you this within 2 days was dead?
Yes, he was. And I could hardly believe it. We had had Marty fired. I got the doll. And 48 hours later, I woke up one morning and my alarm clock, clock radio was on. And they were giving the morning news. And they announced that this man died, that he was found dead. and there was no more big news about it. There wasn't a story about it. And he was one of the elected officials at one time in West Des Moines.
Noreen, let me ask you this. This calls, of course, for speculation, but in your best guess, what are we dealing with here? I mean, what is really there, and why is it still as potent, if not more so, than it was before? What is really there? What's going on?
Well, I tell you, Mike, that has kept me up nights. I'm not kidding. You think you get it figured out, and then there's some new facet that develops.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, we thought we had it figured out that it was just a prostitution ring.
Yeah.
And then if we find out that it leads to so much more involving leverage over them by compromising them with kids,
mm-hmm.
then we find out that there's an involvement that goes the direction of the church in some ways.
Okay.
We found links there,
mm-hmm.
and I think Phil could probably talk more on that subject
than
I could.
Yeah, he's talked quite extensively about it.
Because he's researched that part of it more
mm-hmm.
than the other part, and I've been in the other part because Johnny was the other way.
You see the linkages there.
That's what we found.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it doesn't mean everybody in the church.
Well, no.
And it doesn't mean any particular church. It means churches as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one religion, but it just seems like it's everywhere, and it's like a huge cobweb.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the possibility that this is, now, bear with me here for a moment. If you have a lot of young people that were put under a mind control project at one time,
right.
And we also know that they used this on soldiers,
mm-hmm.
we also know that they used it on prisoners.
Right.
What you've created then, thousands of people that are programmed. What are they waiting for?
Well, you know,
what are they going to use them for?
That's interesting you bring that up because
yeah.
Dr. Corey Dunn Hammond, who is a psychologist in Salt Lake City, broached that subject in a symposium in a paper that he wrote, stating that all the people that he had interviewed that all had the multiple personality disorder and had claimed that they had been programmed in a facility akin to a lab. He postulated the same thing. We're talking about, you know, literally there could be tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people over the years that this has been done to. All of these people report that they know that they have a program to run, but they don't know what it is, and they know that they will be activated at some point to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that does. That brings up an interesting...
You know, what is it they've created? Is it a sleeper army? You know, and I'm not trying to be paranoid, but when you hear the reports and you know of all these individuals, as you said that this gentleman reported too, then the information is out there about these individuals that were programmed.
Yeah.
They all know that there's another program and that they can be triggered at any time.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It sure is.
And I've talked to a number of them myself
mm-hmm.
that, you know, are all capable of this.
Yeah.
I've read Paul Benassi's diaries. And how they had codes for everything.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling, really.
Yeah. Noreen, hold over with me just for a couple of minutes into the next segment. Can you do that?
Okay.
Okay, thanks. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to Noreen Gosh. I'm Michael Corbin. We'll be right back after the break. Toll-free 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. That's outside the area code of 303 or 720. If you're inside that area code, the number to call is 303-423-0188. There, 303-423-0188. And we continue with Noreen Gosh. And Noreen, Again, thank you for holding over with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, let me do this. I just before we went to the break, I got an email from Jeff Gannon, okay? And he says to me, Mr. Corbin, Mrs. Gosch is mistaken. I have never refused to take a DNA test. And he signs it Jeff Gannon. I did respond to him, and I invited him to come on the air. I gave him the phone number and the email message. It's a toll-free number. And if he's listening, it's 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. Jeff, if you're listening, give us a call. I mean, you know, if what Noreen is saying is not accurate, we would love to hear from you. But in the other, with regards to this, if what she is saying is accurate, you know, I think that just for peace of mind, you know, if you're willing to take the DNA test privately, as your conditions were stated the first time around with Noreen, I think that would be only fair. And would you agree, Noreen?
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm.
You have anything you want to say to that?
Just that I know that when he did tell the KWWL TV crew that he would take a DNA test, I do know that his comments to others after that interview were, I never intended to take a DNA test. I just told the reporters that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know that those comments were made. Word gets around, and that's the same as a refusal to take it.
Yeah.
If you say you never intended to take it.
Well, you know, I can understand.
I can, too.
I can understand the idea that a rumor can surface and it can grow legs and the whole thing. And I can assure you, Jeff, if you're listening, this is not a witch hunt. And I, you know, knowing you, Noreen, like I have for quite some time. I mean, I've known you for a couple of years now. And, you know, again, you know, this thing has taken on immense proportions. And, you know, you've always, Noreen, you know, played it down. You know, try to say, I will not confirm that Jeff Gannon is my son. And I think that, you know, if there's a circumstance that arises privately, you know, I think that would be a fair way to put this matter to rest. Would you agree?
I agree totally. And jumping over just a little bit to Paul Bishop. Paul Bishop had given us some information concerning James Guckert that we are still under, it's still under investigation, that might prove or indicate that somewhere along the line adaptation of personalities took place.
What does that mean?
Which is another way of saying identity.
Not known to himself, you mean?
Mm-hmm. And Paul Bishop had quite a bit of information on that, and we were trying to run all the details down on that, and then that's when the lawsuit on the book hit, and so I had to abandon one project and begin working a little bit heavier on this other, because it is critical that I'm able to preserve the Johnny Gosch Foundation and the book and the rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that became a more pressing issue.
Yeah.
And, I am waiting to hear from Paul Bishop on a few other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent him another email, and we usually arrange with our schedules and everything then to talk by phone at a certain time or day, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, again, you know, I don't think he will call in. I don't think he will. But
and, you know, if Jeff Gannon is not Johnny, I wouldn't see what the harm would be in doing a DNA and then just clear it up for, you know, everybody that wondered.
Well, yeah. And you know, again, back to the original.
Wouldn't be any big deal.
Yeah. Going back to the original, you know, statement of conditions that he offered you about the privacy and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very reasonable person.
I had no problem with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was reported to me by the KWWL reporter that did the interview.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's just, as you said, and we've said so many times on interviews on your show, there is so much to this case. It is of huge proportions.
Yeah.
And it trails off into different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one friend that she does real well in following everything.
Right.
And I had breakfast with her yesterday, and we were sitting there having coffee, and she says, you know, if I hadn't been with you all these years, and been right there as these things happen. She said it would be very startling and it would be hard to absorb it all.
Well, yeah, and as a, of course, it's an incredible story. I mean, it does seem to be just as active today as it was back then.
She said to me, too, she says, I'm so glad you put it all in a book.
Yeah.
And at the time the book came out, I think she bought 6 or 7 of them and gave one to every one of her niece and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, because they were all young,
right.
young people growing up.
Let's do this, Noreen. Let's go ahead and wrap up. I don't think he's going to call.
Okay.
Let's wrap up here. What's the next step with this pending litigation from
I'm waiting for a call from Phil. He said he'd call. He was up. And he said he'd call me back either Tuesday or Wednesday and then try to see what we can do next. Because he agrees, too, that there's no way that I can allow them to take that in, or even think that they can take the inventory in exchange for dropping these ridiculous claims.
Sure.
And this man, whoever is putting him up to this, that I don't know. But it just seems very peculiar that all of a sudden they slapped this big lawsuit and all this stuff. And, he wanted a retrial and all this big stuff, you know. And then there was press coverage at the time that I was served with the papers, of course.
Yeah.
And then they call my attorney and say, well, we'll take the inventory instead. It was just so abrupt that it does cause everybody to question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep you posted as to what happens, but as of this very minute, I'm not sure which way it's going to go.
Yeah. What's the next step with this thing? I mean, you've already done depositions. What happens next?
Well, the next would be to have a court date scheduled, which we had, but they only gave us 4 days to prepare.
Yeah.
My attorney said that's not enough time, so they asked for an extension.
I see.
And I don't know when that will take place.
Yeah.
It might be 2 or 3 months before you get on the docket again. I don't know.
Right.
And then they may make another different offer before then, too, because I don't think they really want to go to court.
Mm-hmm. So
I think what the long-range goal was to seize control of my book.
Okay. Noreen, it appears that Jeff did call in. Let's go to line 2.
Okay, good.
Let's see if it's him. Good afternoon. Is this Jeff Gannon?
This is Jeff Gannon.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for calling in. I've got Noreen on the line with us. What would you like to say?
Well, I understand that we're making statements that I have refused this DNA test. That is categorically untrue. I sit here and wait for someone to contact me to set up the test. To bring resolution to this once and for all.
Okay. Noreen, you respond to that, please?
Well, that's terrific to hear. We will have to get in touch with you again.
Jeff, Noreen said that the television crew from Des Moines brought back from you, I guess, the list of conditions under which you would do this. Is that part of it true?
Well, one of the things that I requested that this... Any information that came about as the result of this test would need to be strictly limited to determining, whether or not I was Noreen's son.
Okay.
Immediately be destroyed, not shared with anyone else. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's unrealistic.
I don't either.
No, I didn't have any problem with that either.
Okay, so...
But then I did hear that later... In another couple conversations, that Jeff had said that he didn't really intend to take a DNA test. He just told the reporters that. And so if that's accurate, then that's as good as a refusal.
But
only he can answer that question.
You're hearing it from me now that I am willing to do this. I shouldn't have to do this because there is a mountain of evidence to disprove this. There are people that have known me my entire life that have been willing and able to step forward to refute this, but that doesn't seem to be good enough. You people have demanded a DNA test, and I have to say I am so tired of hearing my name mentioned in connection with this, with whatever this is, that I am willing to participate in this to put it to an end. And after that, I insist that my name not be mentioned in connection with this
any longer. I can assure you, Jeff, that if that's the truth, then that, you know, that will put it to rest. I can, again, as I said, I've known Noreen for a couple of years. I know her character, and I know that she's not trying to grandstand. As a matter of fact, she has, you know, tried to play it down. And if you're agreeing to do that, then fine, let's get on with it and let's put it to rest. Because I agree with you. I think that, and I think Noreen agrees with this as well. She does not want to go any farther than just wanting to know for sure whether it is or not, if it's true or not. And I think from the standpoint of what she's been through, I think you probably can understand that. I understand that you're aggravated.
I am very sympathetic to,
right.
to whatever has happened to her, but none of it has anything to do with me.
Okay. Well,
and I will prove that unequivocally by taking this test.
Okay, Noreen?
And then that'll be the end of it.
Very good. Noreen?
That's wonderful.
Okay, I guess you guys know how to get a hold of one another and be able to get in touch.
I've received more than several emails from Mrs. Gosh in the last 2 months.
Okay, very good.
How to get a hold of me.
All right. Mm-hmm. Noreen, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, but thank you for calling in, Jeff. That was very kind of you.
Jeff, do you have anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
As I have said in the past, I have great sympathy for Mrs. Gosh. And it's a tragedy what happened to her and to her son. I wish her peace and resolution and justice.
Very good. And, Jeff, that's very good. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And, again, I thank you for calling in. Okay?
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. All right, Noreen, so there we go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. Before I let you go, let's take. I think we've got one more caller on here. Let's go Let's go to Dick in Denver. Good afternoon, Dick. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Well, first a comment and then a bulletin. I want to praise Mr. Tancredo for his statement, and he knows where that statement's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say another thing. He reminds me of Harry Truman. That guy doesn't put up with anything. He puts down his fist.
Yeah, well, he did that. It was over the weekend. He sure did that.
Yeah, and then the second thing. Here, I've got a. This caught a red flag. I come across this as April 22nd session update, Fran Coleman.
Yeah.
Okay, it talks all about the Tabor. We need Tabor, and it's being our monies are being restricted. Okay, now what it says, I'll just read just a little bit here. Of course, funding for K-2 education continues to be challenging.
Right.
And the top priority for Colorado continue to provide basic education for all.
Yeah.
Now, the all is the key. Now, I read that, I went through it, and I went back to the, I knew I read again something about it before, July 6th issue of the LaVaz, it speaks of the DREAM Act.
Mm-hmm.
And K-2 is involved there, too. They're talking about K-2.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, anybody think about this, could this K-12, her agenda, we know she's a devious woman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and there are many devious ones. Is this connected to this C&D Tabor issue?
I think it is.
Is it written down there where we can expose this?
Well, I don't know. That would take some digging. But you see, when you look at this thing, you can't help but realize that a lot of the denial of the HB 1271 bill that Schultes introduced has to do with the idea that where are they going to get the money? The question is, where are they going to get the money? The next shoe that dropped, if you remember correctly, was Romanoff's workaround with Tabor. And, of course Governor Owens kind of getting, you know, close to that situation and going forward with it. So I think that they are related. I think we just need to dig and see what referenda C and D are going to be used for.
Yeah, because for all, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They think we're stupid, but...
I hear you.
What they're doing, before I go,
yeah,
is they're supplying us with their shovel for the grave. Basically.
Well, yeah, ultimately, I think, yeah, because they're not looking past this thing. They're not looking well enough into the future to understand that once they've done the bidding of their masters, and these are the globalists that are paying their way, once they've done the bidding of their masters, the poor are going to be more. We're going to all be in that boat.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah, they are in a lot of ways. Nick, I got to go.
Okay, have a great day.
All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye. All right, Noreen, we're going to take our break. I want to go ahead and let you go. I want to thank you for coming on the program. And, of course, you know, we will be in touch. And, you know, I would like to see this this DNA thing move forward.
Since, we'll contact Jeff, Jim Rothstein.
Very good.
Also about setting it up. You know, would know the procedure to do that.
You bet. And I want to thank Jeff. If you're still listening, Jeff, thanks for calling in. I mean, you know, hey, if you can get this resolved, I think it would be the best thing that could happen. You know? Noreen?
And then the next thing would be, after that, preserving the book rights.
That's right.
And then after that, maybe then a little relaxation for a couple weeks.
There you go. I think we ought to go find out the guy who started that rumor about Jeff. You know? If it turns out that he's not, you know, we ought to go find the guy that started that, and we ought to do something, you know, fun with him. I don't know.
I like the way you think.
Anyway, thanks, Noreen. Take care.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue with a closer look. I'm Michael Corbin. We'll be right back.